Get promos and discounts from Filipino startups. Check out our partners at the description. Welcome sa Stack Up Podcast number 1. So ang Stack Up Podcast ay series ng Startup Podcast PH. Kusoan, i-re-invite natin ang mga previous guests natin at now pag-uusapan naman natin kung paano nila dinevelop ang kanila mga business or revenue models para maging sustainable. So ang ating pinakaunang guest for our Stack Up Podcast series ay walang iba kundi ang founder and CEO ng Digest PH, Attorney Raymond Rodis. Hello, hello, hello. Kamusta, kamusta?
Hi, thank you, Johnny, for inviting us back on the show. Good day to you, viewers.
Ayan, so welcome back, ano, Raymond. And nung una, so na-invite na kita before for Startup Podcast. So sa Startup Podcast, we talk about starting up. We talk about ano nga ba yung motivations for starting Digest PH. And now, pag-usapan naman natin ang inyong, I mean, kung paano ninyo dinevelop ang inyong revenue or business models. And I hope madami tayong matutunan today discussing about your journey. So, let me start ano by asking Raymond, ano nga ba ang value proposition ni Digest PH?
So, that's a great question, Johnny. So, this might be a surprise. So, I think last time you had us on the show, we were all about connecting lawyers and clients together so that you can book lawyers online. Right. So now we've actually pivoted over the past 2 years. Like, we still have that model. So there's still that legal services line. So if you are a business focused on businesses, we help startups incorporate, fundraise, do contracts. So that's the legal services line. And that was the main line for most of last year. But now we are now focused on a second line, which is it's a SaaS or software as a service. Oh. So it's a legal research platform for lawyers and law students. So this is the line that if one is more service-based, which is the legal services, the second is now a more product-based, which is access to a content, which is tailored towards lawyers and law students.
Oh, actually ito ang pinaka gusto kong tanungin nga dito sa podcast na to. Kaya din kita rin invite ano. Naalala ko nung first time na nag-usap tayo, it's all about matching. Matching yung mga lawyers, meron kayong parang base ng lawyers. And then when a client wants legal services, kayo yung parang nag-act na nagko-connect nitong dalawang to ano. Pero yan, sige, pag-usapan natin yan, how you pivot. Very strong word ang pivot sa mundo ng startups ano. So paano nga ba, paano nangyari to? Paano kayo nag-pivot? Paano nangyari na binago ninyo kumbaga or nagdagdag kayo ng bagong model sa inyong initial model na now you're not just connecting companies to lawyers, pero meron na kayong ganito. And actually, parang medyo nag-focus kayo sa startup law din, ano? Medyo nag-focus kayo into offering your legal services to startups, ano? So, pwede bang pakwento? Ano nga ba nangyayari in those 2 or 3 years?
Okay, so thank you, Johnny. So, I guess it's the last time we spoke 2 years ago.
2021,
we were chatting over
actually.
Facebook. 2021, parang 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So, at the time, it's true that legal services grew. So our legal service revenue has grown a lot. In fact, it comprised the majority of our revenue, like 80-90% of last year, right? So, and it took off, like last year was our best year yet. We had that experience. So we were able to help a lot of businesses with their legal needs. But at the end of the day, it was really more like a service business, right? So tech-enabled. I think the insight that we realized is I don't think the Philippine market is yet at the point that they're past Facebook Messenger or past Viber messages to seal
true.
Their lawyer, right?
True.
So it's still very trust-based. Like, it's hard for them to find a lawyer online. Like, once they want to deal with Attorney Raymond, they don't want to go to Digest and pick from the lawyers, even if they're supposed to be more specialized. So I think the insight is there. It's not like the US where they really want as much specialized lawyers. I think here in the Philippines, it's really more, so long as I find the lawyer I can trust, I will ask him or her all about everything under the sun, like land law, annulment, adoption, business, lahat. So it's like one, they really want a one-stop shop of a lawyer. So, and they want to book it through Messenger. Even if you have a website, which we have, like it's all everything, they still want to go Messenger, they still want to go Gmail and ask. So it's hard for behavioral change. So I saw the challenges with that model. Because at the end of the day, service businesses, the more you get clients, the more you have to scale up, hires, the cost of service, there's way more overhead. So there's always a corresponding increase of cost and time and effort when there's a corresponding increase in revenue. Right. So that's, I saw the weakness of the business model. So the reward of doing good work is getting more work, which just makes it more tiring.
Good points. Good points.
All right. So that's why we decided this pivot model already. It was the first part actually of Digest. That's why the name is Digest, eh? Because a digest is actually a summary of a law Supreme Court case. So that's actually why we got the name Digest. So there's always that plan to offer that legal research line. So a digest is like, if you don't want to read a 100-page decision, you just want to read a 2-page summary. That's what a digest is.
Yeah.
So luckily, it started taking off around August last year. We started making revenue from this. So this one is we give you a plan. So lawyers and law students, we'll give you for 599 pesos a month, you have access to all the Supreme Court decisions with all the helpful features that you might ask for. Right. So you want the full text, you want the 100-page decision, or you want the 2-page summary. If you want to be able to download the Word in PDF, like easy to access, modern. That was our plan. So that's what we've been pivoting the company towards. So I mean, pivoted in terms of strategic approach, but for transparency, legal services is still at, I said last year it was like 80 to 90% was legal services. Now it's around 70 to 75%. So we've gotten 25 to 30% of our revenue now from legal research. So we're trying to make that a big line. So that's the focus of our efforts. So we are still doing legal services. We've maintained our clients, and luckily our clients have referred other clients. So there's still that growth, and they asked us to take more projects. So for a long while, the legal services used to subsidize the legal research. But in a way, now they can both stand alone. They both are cash flow positive. If you, depending on attribution, but basically we make money on both sides, right? So that is our further goal, because SaaS is the best business model in the world, right? Recurring revenue is so much more attractive on the product front, especially because one, it's prepaid. Like in retainers, usually you pay it 30 days after, 60 days after. And sometimes clients are not the fastest payers, right? But if it's like SaaS business model, you get the money up front.
And
truthfully, like a lot of legal services, much of the money comes not from retainer fees, but from like one-time projects. So it's easier to forecast as a business with the SaaS line. So that's why we decided to focus on the SaaS product now.
Oh, this is actually very interesting. Ano? First of all, gusto ko lang mag-comment onte. Baka hindi ganun ka insightful itong comments ko, ano. Pero yung sinabi mo about the difference with sa US, maybe because also ano, may parang difference din na difference ng legal needs ng mga company sa Philippines tsaka ng mga company sa US. Kasi lalo na sa Philippines, more of ano tayo, more of growing pa tayo ng MSMEs, ng businesses, ano. So medyo, baka medyo operational, medyo yun yung mga kailangan ng mga kliyente sa Pilipinas. Whereas maybe other companies in more developed countries, medyo specific, no? Medyo mas complex na rin. Kaya, ganun na yung legal needs nila, kumbaga. So, and going to this, parang, mas pwede nga gawing operational, mas pwede nga gawing SaaS din yung part sa Pilipinas, kasi mas ano pa siya eh, mas fundamental pa siya na legal needs, ano. And actually, na-surprise ako, ha, na nagbuo na pala kayo ng parang second revenue stream ninyo, ano. So, first revenue stream nyo, maybe yung major nga is yung legal services, and now itong SaaS product nyo for legal research. And kung pwede magtanong ng onti pa dito. So this is basically for law practitioners, law students, para ma-develop nila yung kanilang mga legal, yung kanilang profession, yung kanilang, yung how they offer their service. Right? Tama. Ano? And pwede pa-explain paano exactly nag-work itong legal research na ito, itong digest na ito. Ano?
So thank you, Johnny. So I agree with your insight. That's an interesting insight that yes, we're a less mature market. So more operational Philippine businesses, which means that it's also a lot more work for less pay.
Yeah.
So that's why it's also a big factor, right? We're less mature. Going back to that digest point, yes, you understood correctly. So it really helps lawyers and law students with their journey. So yes, so it's a monthly, you can pay in monthly, 6 month or annual subscriptions. So you could pay GCash, Visa, MasterCard. So that's really just our model. It's like, okay, we have this decision. Like, for example, this decision when Duterte closed Boracay, like that Supreme Court decision, and you want a digest of that, and you want access to tools about it. If you pay us this fee, you actually get access to these resources. So that's actually like our base of our model. You pay for access to content, right? This is really like Netflix or Spotify, right? But the content here is legal content.
Oh, Netflix for legal content. That's nice, actually. Ano? Ayun. So, ngayon, so since ano no, pinag-uusapan natin ang business models, and gusto kong himay-himayin yung meron tayong mga ano eh, analysis on how we do business models. Ano? So, kung okay lang magtanong ng medyo in-depth ng onte, although hindi naman ganun ka-deep. Ano? So, now you have two revenue streams. Doon muna tayo sa part ng, kumbaga, maintaining your customer base and, kumbaga, maintaining your customer relationship. So, in the case of Digest, in those two revenue streams, gaano ka-importante or gaano kahalaga yung, kumbaga, finding the right customers, proper customer segmentation, proper customer messaging, maintaining a healthy relationship with your client. So, paano naman papasok itong mga elements na ito ano, sa pag-maintain nyo rin ng inyong dalawang revenue streams?
So, thank you, Johnny. So, I guess that's first with legal services. So, legal services is actually done through our law firm, Startup Law. Right, so that's the to make clear that the relationship is with Startup Law, not with Digest. But for Startup Law, it's very important.
Yeah, so clear lang natin ano. So is it a different entity ba, or it's just a different branding but under one entity?
Okay. For legal reasons, they're two different entities. But like for our discussion purposes, we can treat. It might. Better to think of to discuss it consolidated, right? Just to basically our legal services is done through Startup Law and the legal research is done through Digest. Okay. So
I see.
As to your question to clients, yes, it's very important to maintain relationships here. I think it's very challenging in the Philippines. Like we branded ourselves as Startup Law, so it was friendly to startups. But truthfully most startups don't have the money to pay for legal. True. Right. So they don't have the money to pay for legal, but they're the ones also with the most legal needs. Like they're the ones who always make mistakes in
actually
corporate structuring and contracts and hiring. So that's the challenge. So obviously there was that pressure to go upstream to try to target like more premium clients. So we were able to get. So we tended to go towards startups that are less focused on fundraising but more focused on revenue generation. So that's where our sourcing is. Like we don't. It's the clients that actually make money. Those are the ones that can pay us, right? So that is the importance of sourcing. And obviously, yes, we prefer to maintain the relationship. Like we always emphasize the good payers and those who trust us. We are the ones who always give the best like service, like same day. So that's really like, I think it's logical. Like guys, if you're like a very late in paying, like don't expect the best there already, right? So I think it's very important. But for if we are treated well, obviously we also bet on you. That's why we always. That's why clients do tend to stay with us and trust us and refer others. Is that we also bet on you. Like if you are high potential and you ask for something hard, we do make that. Like we also bet on entrepreneurs. You're not just choosing us as lawyers, but we're betting on you. That we feel that you might be a key industry client in the future, right? That you might make it. So if you scale, we'll also hopefully scale with you, right? So. There, it's very important. Law is very relationship-based. Like, can't help it. So, it's really about meeting the right entrepreneurs.
Yeah, if I may ask lang pala, Raymond, si Digest or si Startup Law ay maraming ino-offer na legal services. Ano nga ba usually na ina-ask ng mga startups dito? Lalo na, we're in Startup Podcast and maraming startup founders na nakikinig dito. So, ano nga ba usually yung parang mga legal needs nga nito, mga startups na ito?
Okay, so that's a great question. So I'd say like the biggest buckets would be retainers. Growing startups really have lots of contract work, whether employment law, whether commercial law like MOAs, service agreements, supply agreements, NDAs, employment hiring. Do you hire freelancers? Do you hire regular employees, project-based? They have other needs, like sometimes they're figure out how to do their taxes. They might be in a special industry that has a special license, that requirement, right? So those are common. Like even once in a while, though it's a smaller bucket, intellectual property. So usually they might have questions on trademarks and also tax structuring. But usually that's normally when like something like the BAR happens, right? So that's the retainer bucket. The second bucket is fundraising. So sometimes when people want fundraising, they want a safe note, they want a convertible note, they want a subscription. there's a lot of movement there, like cleaning up the cap table, moving shares from the company to the investor or between shareholders, or getting the investment through. So that's another bucket that's common. The third is corporate structuring and business registration. So sometimes some startups want to do it right from the very start. Like they want to have it, like if they want a Singapore holdings company and a Philippine subsidiary or something like that, they kind of want already idea of how it will look like overall. So those three, basically, retainers, business registration being the last, and also fundraising. So those are the three most common needs availed. So, but basically, we cater so long as it's a business. We do not take individuals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So any business legal need. And I'll take this opportunity na rin, ano, to announce na meron tayong partnership. Meron partnership ang Startup Podcast, PH with Digest PH. So you can actually avail of a 10% discount sa legal services ni Digest or ni Startup Law by using the discount code DIGESTXSUP. So, ayun, ano? So, sa mga nakikinig na mga startup founders dyan or business owners, SME owners, you can actually avail discounted legal services from Digest by using our discount code. Punta naman tayo dun sa isa pang ano, revenue stream, ano, si Digest, yung legal research part. Ano. So, dito naman, knowing that it's like more of a SaaS na maybe nga in a SaaS, baka, I'm not sure, correct me if I'm wrong, baka less yung parang maintaining ng customer relationships, ano. So, paano naman ang pakikitungo sa mga customers or sa mga kliyente dito? And sino ba ito exactly? Are you prioritizing students or other lawyers? Ayun.
So that's a great question. So, right now, more of our customer base are law students. So, they're the ones the most intensive for legal research studies.
Yeah.
Right? No, but we've been making a bit of inroads with lawyers. So, because obviously lawyers have more disposable income. Right? So, we hope to hit both, but now we're more oriented. As your question, how do we manage relationships? Since the nice thing is there's no sales process, right? I mean, there's no book a demo here. It's just you pay online with your card, right?
So
we never actually meet the customer directly, right? So we usually do email marketing. So we use Breva for email marketing. Like if you need to reach out, we may have to make announcements. We run some surveys or we actually have like surveys like we're willing to pay just to get customer insights. We respond very strongly on customer support. So when someone emails, I try to respond immediately or at least within 24 hours. Like I really do like best effort. So I want people to know that like their concerns are being answered. So we maintain the relationship through more asynchronous methods of communicating.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, pero ang ganda, no, nakikita natin actually yung difference ng like yung medyo partnership-based and medyo client-centric talaga si legal services, si Startup Law, and si Digest at sa SaaS nga. You're catering to more people, pero andun pa rin yung kahalagahan itong ng aspeto na to. Ano. Now, talking about, I'm curious din ano, na naggumawa nga kayo ng second revenue stream and on the topic of parang maintaining and building several revenue streams for a company, for a startup. Was this a plan all along? I mean, you see Digest, itong legal research part na to, itong SaaS part na to. Was it a plan all along, like, when you started Digest? Or, kumbaga, nag-sprout lang siya na parang, oh, we need, especially like in the times ngayon na medyo marami na rin other legal startups dyan, other legal companies, na parang, we need another revenue stream. Kumbaga, nagkaroon ng need to build another revenue stream. That's why you do this. So, ayun, was this planned all along? Or parang, it's more of a reaction sa current industry ng legal services sa Pilipinas?
So thank you, Johnny, for that question. When we started working on Digest 2019, this was always the plan to have legal research. That was actually our first product we developed. Just the first
time.
It was very old looking. It's just that since it was hard to monetize kasi no one really... Wala pang, if I recall correctly, hindi pa established yung pay Mongo send it, right? If I'm not crazy. Mm. It was also hard, but there was no infrastructure for payment gateways. Very rare in the Philippines. Even today, I can think of very, very few B2C SaaS or like SaaS na without a sales demo, without having to go through the process. So back then, I wanted to develop legal research, but I just don't think the timing was right. So what happened was it was planned always like two services, legal services, though iba yung model, like more matching online instead of like having a law firm directly render the service. that was really what became our focus, like 2020 onwards to like 2023. Pero pang balik loob nung when we saw na okay, there were some returns coming in. Now is the time to re go back to our route, which is to go back to legal research.
I see. Sa bagay, go where the money flows, ano? Saan, kung saan ka nakakuha ng revenue. Pero ang ganda, no, na maintain nyo rin na ito nga kasi yung parang maybe, kumbaga, purpose din to begin with ni Digest. Pero in the future, I mean, siguro may ano ka lang, may ideas ka lang. How do you see in the future na do you plan to like build it 50-50 or do you plan to build a certain revenue stream more or kung asan pera, doon tayo?
That's a great question. So, our strategic direction now is to focus on lawyers. Okay. While the legal services is great, so obviously we had a great year last year. That's the actually savings, that's the war chest that we have to make this all possible. That's where we're making big bets this year.
Gets.
It's just there's just so many, like, law is a very competitive space. Like, I'm sure startup entrepreneurs, you know multiple lawyers, right? That's really the name of the game. Some of them very pababaan, like yung presyo, like the same, yeah. I see na pang Makati law firm na 5k per month, like how will you compete with that? How would we make money on that? Right, there will always be a lawyer here that will charge cheaper, or if they are expand, or they will be the opposite way, they're very upmarket, they'll be the ones in suits now with a huge ass team, like with a huge office, so it's very cutthroat. So not everyone super, like our advantage usually is like we are focused on the startup field, so we're familiar with SaaS, with technology, like the business model that's really useful, and the network that we've managed to build. But it's very cutthroat. So I don't think that it is the best path for the company to focus on legal services. Because there really be like so many, you're fighting against the smartest lawyers, all competing for that same chunk of the market. And if the B2B, if the SaaS SME market in the Philippines isn't growing as fast, if our economy isn't doing as well as like other people are selling the Philippines to be, we're focusing on legal research. So I foresee that we're orienting our company all towards selling to lawyers and law students, right? So it's not just the legal research line. We have other product lines that I do plan to build out. But my goal now here is focus. So there's another product line that we want to explore, right? I think would be a big help because even helps me. Like I can already see it helping me as a lawyer. Right? And I think I'm already the potential customer. I see another line that we hope to announce sometime in the future, right? But right now our focus is on legal research. Like there's so many things to do, but I think focus will be what wins this market.
Yeah. Pero actually ang wise nga na naging decision na to na actually planned all along kasi totoo no, na parang nakakuha kayo ng pera to build the company and to explore other possible streams nga through yung main ninyo, yung startup law, yung legal services. Pero now that you have built this foundation, meron na kayong money, meron na kayong pera, meron na kayong financing to explore other paths such as itong legal research nga. Na actually, come to think of it like in a bigger perspective, si legal services, ang medyo fierce na ngayong competition, ano, and nag-aagawan nga kayo, as we said, sa common market. Although palaki pa rin ng palaki yung market na yun, parami rin ng parami yung competition. Ano? Palakas din ng palakas yung competition. Pero itong si Legal Research, itong si Digest, actually, ang kinocover na naman, lahat naman ng mga lawyers na ito na nag-aana dun sa market. So, it's very wise ano na you went below. And actually, ano siya, win-win siya kasi you can tap this another market. Yun yung one win, second win. Actually, parang pinapalakas na rin overall yung buong law profession sa buong Pilipinas. So actually, it's a very good thing when you think of it na you're, of course, maganda na kumikita tayo, ano? Pero ang ganda rin na parang in a larger perspective, natutulungan natin yung Pilipinas as a whole. Ayun. So, yeah, that's very nice. That's very nice. And thank you for those insights, Raymond. Now, pag-usapan naman natin yung, so in your revenues, ano, yung pagiging lean naman ng isang startup. So, ikaw, I mean, in your perspective or in how you build, digest, in how you run Digest as the CEO especially. So how do you keep costs down or how do you maintain being lean ano, in running this startup, in running Digest and Startup Law?
So thank you, Johnny. Appreciate, yes, that we are betting, okay, let's not make them competition, let's make them customers, the lawyers. But going to your question about hiring and keeping lean, truthfully, I think I now take an opposite from most startups now. I do not associate like being lean now with keeping costs down. Okay. So what I learned before was, I mean, over the past couple of years, right? We no longer try to keep salaries low. Okay. In fact, we try to hire better and pay higher. Okay.
Oh, true.
So we don't do like 5 or 10% raises. Like our raises can be very significant. Like even, it can even double, right? So in a year.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So yeah. It just requires us to, we are lean because we are not that many members of a team.
Okay.
But so long as each person does well. So our focus is on hiring A players. So I think that the realization I realized, one person, especially in the knowledge industry like this, like can do the work of 2, 3, 4 people of average, even more, maybe even 10x the other players, but even at 2, 3, 4x. And if you just pay them like 50% more than market, pang win already. So lean is about hiring the right people, getting the right people in the right seats. But not with the purpose of keeping it down, but like paying them competitively so that they are happy and they can see the betting on this future. So that's the track that we are focusing on.
Oh, ang ganda noon actually, ano, being lean is in how you pick the right people. And when you pick the right people, you retain them by, I mean, hindi dapat maging lean sa pag-awaswelda sa kanila. Kasi actually, I saw your Facebook post or LinkedIn post pa to recently na parang in a market nga, lalo na in a healthy, competitive market, talagang mahalaga na, I mean, when you pay a client or you're an employee or a partner, good, expect good services. And when you do not pay fairly, kumbaga all is fair, all is fair in business. Na when you pay well, expect good services. When you do not pay well, don't expect good services. Correct. Same ano with employer-employee relationship or kumbaga in an organization na hindi naman, I mean, it doesn't really matter if the raise is like a small raise, a small percent, or a big percent. Ang mahalaga is if you give enough incentive for that person to do well sa kanyang mga ginagawa and towards, kumbaga, contributing to the team as a whole. Ayun, so, about ano naman tayo, about partnerships with other businesses, with other startups, with other companies. So gaano ka-importante ang pag-keep ng good relationships with this other business? I mean, kasi like in a B2B or in a B2C, and hindi lang basta-basta with other businesses. I mean, with kumbaga with incubators, ganyan, with other entities. So gaano kahalaga yung dealing with other people na maaaring makatulong sa inyo in building the company as a whole pa. So, yeah.
Thank you, Johnny. Truthfully, I guess I'll look at the two areas. For legal services, truthfully, you might have the partners, but I've really noticed that, and we do have partnerships, so we're happy to partner with other podcasts, we're happy to partner with different providers, like virtual office providers, with software providers. So it's very important just to help the ecosystem grow. But in terms of getting actual clients and revenue, the most important job of a partner is to, like, if they're able to refer clients. So truthfully, our main clients though, like when I look at data at least, and we hope to change this, but when we look at the data of where they're actually sourced, they really come from past clients or people who met us personally. So in terms of getting actual clients, it's more even driven that the person won't select you because they were referred by another partner. Right, but they picked you. The most key clients are because they've met you as a lawyer and they liked you as a lawyer, right?
Mm.
Or that they were happy with your services, so they referred another client. They vouched for you there. So I think it's less partnership model in the legal services. Though we have different partners and we're happy. So the indirect though help here is hopefully like by being on Startup Podcast and then listening to us, they can have an idea of the lawyer. So I think that's the benefit. The more marketing-driven benefit of working with partners. On the legal research side, there's a slightly more effect. I don't want to share it here, but
partnerships
drive revenue a bit more on the legal research side. So that's what I would share. So given that it's a very competitive space, I don't want our competitors to know about it. But yes, we do have a partnership strategy there.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for answering ano, Raymond. Motivation din kasi ng question ko, especially for like starting startups or like maybe early stage or medyo nang mature na ng onte, some of them maybe are parang hesitant or afraid to go into this long-term partnerships, these other partnerships. Kasi, I mean, kumbaga when you form a partnership, ano yun, hindi yan basta-basta, eh, diba? So, madaming repercussions din yan. Eh. Madaming implications, good, baka may bad minsan. Pero, ayun, I mean, just in your perspective, ano, does the good outweigh the bad? Or how do you properly approach this? Especially when you're a startup and when you're building the company, when you're trying to expand in terms of clients, of customers, and in terms of like, I mean, a bigger part of the network. So how do you properly approach these kinds of things?
So thank you for this, Jan. It's a very interesting question. I would say actually, most startups that I've encountered, and even we also work on those contracts with partners, eh, it's very rare, I would say, that the partnerships make or break the company. So I think founders tend to over-index on on working on partnerships, right? It really depends on your type of business model. But for so many business models, your partnerships won't make or break the company, right? Okay, Except for like if you're selling physical goods, maybe your partnerships with suppliers because that determines your costing, right? But if it's like a referral partnership or a MOA, like founders kind of waste too much time like drafting the paper, thinking about it. Like they make the splashy, they want to focus on the MOA signing and everything. You kind of have to think about the outcomes that it generates. Right? So if you babalikan your outcomes, what did it actually come vis-a-vis your effort? So I would say that for those founders, especially early stage, I think you should probably spend a little more time talking to your customers rather than looking for partners. Mm-hmm. Right? Just cut out the middleman. Talk to them directly. Like that's the Y Combinator advice. Talk to your customers, right? So just stick with that. That's sage advice. Don't stop going to events if it's not gonna help you land customers. Like spend more time working on your customers. Revenue is more important. The other partners will come once you have revenue.
Yeah. That's actually very, very, very good advice then to our startup founders. Baka sa mga nakikinig dyan, ano. Kasi I'm saying this kasi minsan we get stuck sa pagkakalikot ng MOBA, mga ganyan-ganyan. We get stuck also sa pag-network with other people. Pero at the end of the day, tama, talk to your customers. At the end of the day, yun naman talaga ang dapat. Next, pag-usapan naman natin, although medyo patapos na rin tayo, fundraising versus bootstrapping. So in building Digest and Startup Law, so ano nga ba ang inyong naging approach? And paano mo siya tinitigdan as a founder? So gaano ka, ano yung pros and cons ng fundraising and ng bootstrapping? And how did you manage with these things when building the startup?
So thank you, Johnny. I think that's a very interesting question because I think the startup ecosystem in the Philippines has been very fundraising focused, right? Yeah. So it's like, how do you raise more money from people? So truthfully, I've never really been attracted to it. But I always get flattered when people ask. There have been a couple of people now who talked about like okay, but the terms weren't that attractive to me as a person. So how I see it is there's a very good channel that I'd recommend for most founders. It's called Startups for the Rest of Us. Okay.
I think I saw that.
So that's what I really love. Like they believe in bootstrap. Okay. I think that's a philosophy that is not touted a lot in the Philippine startup ecosystem, that you can actually succeed bootstrap, right? And you get to keep your equity. You don't have to have a boss. So you don't have to report to anyone else. You don't have to rush your timeline. Like you're just building something for you or your co-founders or for your team. Those are the only stakeholders you have to consider, aside, of course, the customers, right? So I think that's a plus of the bootstrapped approach. Like, okay, you are the control of your destiny. Obviously, the con is that you don't get the fuel that you might need to launch faster. So I think how I think about it is, I think fundraising does make sense if you're in a very big market. Like that's the part that kind of even me, like I've been thinking about though, is now we're in a space that there's so many more legal tech that came in this year. Okay. Now there's a lot of non-lawyers coming into this legal tech, which has made me rethink that, okay, I know it's a big market, the Philippine lawyers, like if we're able to tackle it. So that there's different validity, but I just want to make clear that it's still very attractive, the philosophy. And I suggest people watch Startups for the Rest of Us. Read this book called SaaS Playbook, right? Which discusses bootstrap, right? Like if you look at founders like Jason Cohen and Pat, I forgot his name though. I'll get back to it. But the founders of Paddlewell and Drip, Those are the startups they build. So they also do advocate that you can succeed without going through the traditional fundraising journey. But you still can. It's not like the anti-fundraising. It's just that you really do have that legit option just to build a regular business that generates revenue that does not need other people's money or capital to build, right? So that's how I think about it. With that said, I know as founders, especially starting out, you will need some money. It costs money to hire people, which is always our biggest expense. Second, also marketing. That's also usually a big expense. So you do need fuel. But if you need fuel, like how we thought about it is, we kind of joined a couple of grant competitions. Right? So we got like 500K from Rice Makati. We got around 700K from Roy Quant. It's a pre-seed competition internationally. So our way to tackle the fundraising problem is like, you know, there's actually another way to raise money is to get it through grants, right? And I think a lot of the other startups in this space have gone DOST startup grant. Like there are other different ways to raise money. Mm-hmm. Others would look at debt, even as a, if you're confident making money, why not just borrow money, right? So I think it's just thinking, okay, but if I were in a smaller market, I would definitely focus on bootstrap. If I were in a big market, and don't just say like, everyone's my market, all the business are market. Like really think about who your ideal customers are. Like if there, it's not enough that it would justify a big market that you might need to make a big bet on it. I think that's when you would consider fundraising because that's, you would need that fuel. But I would only say you'd only really should only really consider fundraising ideally once you have product market fit. Okay. So like it only makes sense because if you don't have product market fit, and you hire 10, 20, 30 people, that's a lot of payroll that you have to cover, right? You're burning money, right? Even when you haven't figured out if you have a viable business, right? So I would suggest can fundraise, but fundraise after you have a big enough market and after you figure out the product. But otherwise, like bootstrapping, there are a lot of million, even billion-dollar businesses, if you look at the literature, that were built entirely bootstrapped. You Google it, like you'd be surprised. Everyone, you don't have to be like a unicorn in valuation, but you can be a unicorn in actual revenue just by like bootstrapping. Yeah. So look those up.
Oh, napaka golden ng insights na to. Salamat Raymond for sharing those advice. And actually, yeah. Iniisip ko nga rin yun recently. I mean, sa Pilipinas kasi, parang napakalaking news ng mga nakapag-fundraise ng napakalaking $1 million. And sige, I'll ask you this bit lang ano kasi napaisip din ako maybe in a legal perspective din. Hindi ba dapat pag ina-announce yung mga ganunong fundraising news, nakalagay din yung parang naging kapalit na equity, percent equity, or yung parang naging kapalit na negotiation doon sa ano? Kasi parang nakafocus lang yung number na parang we raised this big amount. Pero for me, as an outsider, parang gusto ko rin malaman ano yung kapalit ng ano na yan. Kasi I mean, of course, there's a good thing na sa fundraising, especially also like when foreign investors invest in the Philippines. For one, of course, it's parang international recognition eh. And pangalawa, of course, parang nag-bring in tayo ng capital sa Pilipinas. So parang siyang foreign investments, parang more capital to work with sa Pilipinas. So, pero parang ano lang, being a Filipino, parang ano ba yung kapalit niyan? Ano ba yung nagiging kapalit ng pag-raise ng mga ganitong funds? Ano? So, ikaw, ano Raymond, but sir, what are your thoughts lang on this, ano, on that specific issue or question na aking tinanong?
So thank you, Johnny. I think you're right that there's so much focus on the number, right? But like, what use the number if you raise 10 million but you only make 100K in revenue, right? So I think the focus on like we over market the capital raise rather than as compared to whether the capital actually generated the return, because anyone can waste money. Like, are you proud that you spent 100 million on something that doesn't even generate money, right? So agree that it should be less celebrated as a milestone, and that if in order to be more helpful to other startup players, you're right that it would be nice to know the general kapalit. Because what happens, like you raise so much money, but now you lost half your company, or you gave up control, or now there's debt into it, or right, you will never be able to raise again because your terms, the valuation was too high, or the terms were too onerous that no one else would raise again. So I think it would be more helpful if, obviously, like legally you can always keep it confidential, but it's less value adding for other startup founders because you it's clear what the founder got, but it's not clear what the founder gave in return, right? So there's gonna be tendency of FOMO for some founders, like, okay, why did this person get this, but they didn't get the full story, like what did they give in return? And obviously you're right that like our ecosystem and our media are way too focused on valuation. number and capital raised rather than like what you actually did with the capital and building businesses that actually can survive in the long term.
Yun nga actually yung dahilan kung bakit ko sinart itong Stack Up Podcast talking about business models. Kasi for me, yun ang next step eh. When you start up the startup, ang second big next step ay, of course for some, especially those na gusto mag-accelerate and those na gusto mag-scale really, mahalaga talaga ang capital raising, ang fundraising. Ano. Pero for me, very important part din talaga yung building a sustainable revenue model. Really build that business, find that product market fit na when you have that capital, you can actually get customers and that those customers can actually give you money because you offer them good products or good services. So I think very important for Filipino startups, for Filipino companies to think more about that than ano, yung parang, let's build very good business models. Let's build good, sustainable revenue models. Ayan. So, salamat Raymond. Ano. So, last question lang. Ano nga ba ang growth? Ano pa ba ang growth projections niya for Digest? How do you see Digest pa in the near future or maybe in 5 years? How do you plan to build pa Digest? So, are you expanding in terms of clientship? Are you expanding in terms of other products? So, ano bang future na abangan pa namin for Digest and Startup Law?
So, thank you, Johnny. I guess, before we go to the last question, sorry, I just want to leave quote that in case there's any founders that I really like on that fundraising, because I forgot to share it earlier. There's a quote I really like, is you don't ask other people's permission to build your business, right? So if you really need fundraising to build your startup, you're asking someone else, like, I only build my startup if I get this amount of money. So I think, no, don't.
Oh.
Don't ask that permission. Don't give that people power. Yes. You know, you'll be able to get your own permission if you get customers, right? Just focus on that. Like, that's all, right? Don't rely on investors to build your business. Like, don't ask their permission. So, going back, okay, to the 5-year growth plan. For the legal research side, I mean, there's really a lot I can see to improve the delivery of law in the Philippines. So, definitely, I see that we will go multi-product in the legal sphere, helping lawyers and law students, right? That it's going to be that fight because there are more competitors now. So we're going to have to defend our territory and take other territory that has not been claimed yet. So definitely we'll go beyond legal research in the next 5 years for that. So that's the main focus. I mean, that's the painful lesson I learned, is trying to do two things at once is very hard. All right. So I'd really still focus, like, we'll take all we can from legal research, I think, and test, make a small bet on other products before fully committing to them. So that's how I see ourselves in legal research. And in terms of the legal services side, yes, I think it's like, the nice thing is like clients tend to be loyal. So I do think that just naturally people referring, we just naturally get a bit more clients. So I just see it going there. I do see us hopefully in a couple of years going international. I think you can't help it. It's just that for the same amount of work, sometimes even more, Filipino clients are sometimes more demanding. Like, we do have some foreign clients and they pay more, okay, for less, right? So obviously there's that economic incentive to focus more on foreign currency, right? Lugi tayo sa currency. Like, it's painful, but the Philippine market needs more development. The government needs to do a lot more to grow our country and make it more competitive. So definitely legal services, there will be probably at least one other country where we'll pick where, okay, this is another, we'll get clients there. Obviously the more BPO type model, or there's even legal process outsourcing. So it's just more like Philippine lawyers with some training abroad, right? But doing servicing foreign clients. So that's really a natural place that I would try to see. Some of our clients operate in multiple countries. So it kind of would also make it more attractive to have that.
Yeah, so parang outsourcing nga, ano, yung legal legal department ng company. Ang ganda nun actually, no, na kumbaga pag makita natin yung dalawang, and Filipinos, yung sa Filipinos pwede mag-outsource nung ganong department. Ayun, so maraming salamat Raymond. This is a very, very, very insightful conversation. Grabe, in 50 minutes ang dami natin napag-usapan na napaka-packed and napaka punong-puno ng kaalaman. Actually, ako mismo, ang dami kong naisip, ang dami kong natutunan, and I'm sure sa mga nakikinig dito, mapapaisip ka rin sa mga pinag-usapan natin. So, ayun, salamat Raymond. And by the way pala, for our listeners, so, alam nga ulit ang website ni Digest, or basically, if they want to know more about Digest and Startup Law, maybe maybe they're a law student, they want yung legal research, and maybe they're a startup, they're a company na gusto mag-avail ng inyong services. So feel free to invite them to go to your website maybe, and feel free to invite them to try out your products sa Digest.
So thank you, Johnny. So you can find us at digest.ph. So it's spelled how it sounds, so like Reader's Digest. So digest.ph, digest.ph. So you can access our website. We're not just a landing page. We played a lot of development and time and effort. Yeah. I think I'm pretty proud of our website, right? This is over like 5 years of development. So this is something that we highly encourage you to explore, digest.ph. You can also search for us on Facebook. You can easily find us if you search digest.ph. Happy to connect also. You can find me on LinkedIn, Raymond Rodes. Happy to also entertain any podcast viewers. Again, Johnny shared our unique promo code available exclusive for Startup Podcast viewers. And I'm sure it will be in the description so they can access. Right. So we're happy to honor, happy to connect with either startups, lawyers, legal professionals, other people interested in the space. Very open also to share what I learned. I think I'd also highly encourage, like, thinking about the question that Johnny asked, one of the last ones, to really look at how bootstrap startups did it, because you'd be surprised. Yeah. The one I forgot to plug though, MicroConf. Look at that, MicroConf on YouTube. That's a very good channel with very insightful talks. You will see there why SaaS is the best business model on the planet, and why how you can achieve a lot with less. Right? You'd be surprised. There are teams who've built billion-dollar businesses without raising money or very little money, or with very lean teams. You don't need 100 people. I think Instagram was sold for $1 billion, right? I think it had like 16 people or something like that. And so just plugging also, check digest.ph, but also highly recommend check those other YouTube channels I mentioned.
So yeah, check those channels. And by the way, ano, yung promo code ay DigestXSUP. Lalagay namin yan sa descriptions. And lalagay natin yan, of course, sa upcoming, or actually na-launch na when we release this episode, yung website ng Startup Podcast PH, or PH Startup Online ang kanyang name. So, andun din sa quote-unquote shop ng website yung Digest, and andun din ang, or Startup Law, and andun din ang promo code. So, ayun, maraming salamat, Raymond, for this episode, for our second conversation dito sa podcast. Ang daming natutunan, and I hope ang ating mga nakikinig ay madami rin natutunan. So, salamat, Raymond, salamat.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you, everyone. Super happy. Congrats again to the Startup PH podcast team.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much to our 42 patrons. This episode is super powered by AskLexPH Academy, our official e-learning partner. Get certifications on Lean Six Sigma, project management, data science, and many more. One CFO, CFO services, bookkeeping and tax, and payroll processing for startups and small businesses. Twala, the next evolution of digital trust, privacy-focused digital experience for sharing identity information across Web2 and Web3 ecosystems. And Space PH, global co-working space, private office, and meeting rooms for startups, digital nomads, and freelancers. UBI Philippines, advocating universal basic income for Filipinos. Ignite Careers, career matching platform for Filipino talents and hiring companies in the outsourcing industry. Mamiki Super Pet App, the Philippines' first ever one-stop mobile app for pet products and services. Divico Technologies, IT solutions specializing in software development, blockchain smart contracts, digital wallets, and cybersecurity. DBuzz, Web3 microblogging app promoting freedom of speech and content ownership. Benjoy's Food Products, the home of premium bacon ends, Tapa, and Tocino. Looking for, buy and sell online with Sigurado Sellers. NutriCoach, the all-in-one productivity tool for dietitians and nutritionists. Spotify Team, podcast launch, production, editing, and management company helping increase podcasters' efficiency. Smile, consent-driven digital employment verification service to make smarter decisions faster. Mata Technologies, Philippines' premier provider of virtual tours and virtual maps for LGUs, real estate, tourism, and private businesses. PH Startup Online, explore Filipino startups online, browse their products, find careers, listen to their stories. This episode is powered by Contact RFID Business Cards, SiriusMD, Pocketworks, Founders Launchpad, Uplift Codecamp, Agile Data Solutions, Hustle PH, Board Prep, Zales, and Pareto Consulting. Please support the podcast through the links in the description.